Hi everyone, and welcome back to another one of my podcasts. I'm recording this today halfway through November, having just got back from my anti-Brexit tour of Europe, which turned out to be not necessary because we got our extension till January. However, it was enjoyable being in Brussels, Prague, and Vienna. I probably ate far too much. Well, I'm going to begin today with a singer which I'm surprised I don't seem to have given you before. He was born in 1848, one of the first or earliest born singers to record. To put this in context, he would have been 25 years old when Caruso was born. He also outlived Caruso by 14 years. He lived till the age of, I think, 87, something like that. And he was still singing on stage at the opera at the age of 80 plus. Looking at pictures of him, he obviously was a man with a sense of humour. You can just see it from his face. And he comes from a very unusual background for a singer, not the usual middle class, went to conservatory, all that sort of stuff. He lost his father and at the age of 12 was apprenticed to a mason. He actually worked on some of the gargoyles at the Notre Dame with his brothers. He was born in Paris, obviously. He also used to join in places called singing societies that were the thing at the time locally. Later on, he worked as a jewellery salesman. But in the middle of all this, he thought he'd have a go at making a living at music. Managed to get some private voice lessons because the Paris Conservatoire turned him down. He made his debut as a chansonnier, a sort of popular song singer, at the Bataclan in 1870, which means he was, what, 22. And then he sang in an operetta at the Théâtre des Bouffes Parisiens, and before long he was in quite high demand at the sort of light end of opera and popular song venues all over Paris. However, in 1877, when he was already over 30, he made his debut at the Opéra Comique as Jean in Les Noces de Jeannette by Victor Massé. And he continued to sing at that place for the next 40-odd years, creating roles in over 30 operas, and especially the father in Gustave Charpentier's Louise. I've got Charpentier's autograph somewhere. I don't know how I got that. And he was also in operas by Massenet, Chabrier, and so forth and so on. He even played Sancho in Don Quixote. Well, as I say, he had a very long career, and he was still singing in 1930. This recording is, I believe, from 1929, when he was 81 years old. It's not a big baritone voice, but I have a feeling that it never was much different to this. It doesn't sound like an old man, you know, on his last legs by any means. This is a little song called Le Vieux Ruban, which, if my French is not mistaken, means the old ribbon. And it's a delightful performance. There's nothing wrong with this at all. And as I say, at the age of over 80, he lived long enough to make electrically recorded recordings through the microphone, though, of course, in his early days, he'd made acoustic ones. The acoustic ones are really rare. I haven't come across one yet, but I've certainly got most of his electric ones made for Columbia. Well, without more ado, let's listen to Lucien Fougère singing Le Vieux Ruban.
La jeunesse au gai loisir riait de pauvres bonhommes pour un vieux ruban vert pomme, trésor de ses souvenirs. Ah, répondait-il toujours, vous saurez avec les jours que le cœur par bonheur. Le cœur, mes jolis enfants, n'est pas comme les rubans. Non, non, je vous le promets, le cœur ne vieillit jamais. Ce ruban, aujourd'hui, tout mon passé se rassemble. Souvent, je l'aimais ensemble, à jaser mon cœur et lui. Pour moi, quels heureux moments, que ces entretiens charmants, non, le cœur par bonheur. Le cœur même de l'enfant n'est pas comme les rubans. Non, non, je vous le promets, le cœur ne vieillit jamais. Et puis leur criant à demain, à demain, folle jeunesse, le bon Dieu avec tristesse poursuivait son droit chemin. Mais la voix en s'éloignant disait toujours ses saignants, non, le cœur par bonheur. Le cœur m'écoïs enfant n'est pas comme l'air du vent. Non, non, je vous le promets, le cœur ne vieillit jamais.
Now, this being the December issue, this will be Christmas, and Great Britain has a strange form of entertainment unique to itself called pantomime. Pantomime can, of course, have another meaning, which is basically theatre without words. You could say that the great silent comedians of the early film industry were the last example of real pantomime. But pantomime in England means something else. It's a special sort of show in which a famous fairy tale is retold, Cinderella, Puss in Boots, all the standard stories. And every year they star current famous people, and involved in the story is singing, dancing, maybe a bit of slapstick comedy. And of course, the old lady is always played by a man, which is apparently very funny. And the principal boy, in other words, the hero, the man, is always played by a beautiful girl. Why, you may ask? Well, way back when, men on stage wore tights, whereas a girl would wear a long skirt. By playing the part of the man, of course, the beautiful girl wore tights and you could see her legs. And I suppose that was the reason why this tradition came about. This sort of thing is still done with current pop songs and current pop stars or stars of soap operas or whatever. This is a recording by a group of people called The Favourites. I'm not quite sure who they are. It may just be a group of people named after a record label of those days, which is called The Favourite Label. And this, on two sides of a 78, represents a sort of rehearsal with carpenters still building the set and the person who's directing it running through things with everybody. I'm just going to play you side one. Maybe next year I'll play you side two. So this is a British pantomime as it was over 100 years ago. And it still sort of sounds like it might have worked even today. I like this record. It's quite historic in a way, even though there's nobody famous on it to my knowledge. But it's as if you really go back in time and you were there. I hope you'll enjoy it as much as I have. Here it is then, The Favourites in part one of The Pantomime Rehearsal, 1912.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, are you all here?
No, sir, the author hasn't turned up yet.
Oh, never mind him. What's he know about pantomime? We want actions, not words. Now, as it's the carpenter's quiet day, we'll take the most important bit of the pantomime. Now, where's the fairy queen? Miss Lacey, you here?
I'm here, Mr. Sousa.
Oh, good morning, Miss Lacey. Now, I'd like you just to run through a verse of your ballad with the band. You ready, please, Mr. Bagliski? Whoa, stop. Oh, my dear sir, this is a ballad, not a procession. Now, I want Miss Lacey's ballad, Meet Me at Twilight, and confound those carpenters, can't you make less noise?
Oh, we've got to put in full time, you know.
Well, that's all right, only don't put in so many nails. Now then, please, Miss Lacey's ballad.
Joe, bring us along that flank, will you?
Oh, I love the long wings, so hammer free.
Pass the hammer.
You look so neat, it is more.
Oh, below there. Oh,
now you've been and done it. You've been and done it now. You've been and smashed the fairy queen's foot. Now you've got to set to work and make her a pair of crutches for the opening night.
Can't do it in the time, Governor.
You must. I can't send the fairy queen on in a bath chair, you know. Now we'll try the comedians. Where are they? Where's Bubble and Squeak? Have you looked in the bar?
Here we are, Captain.
Now, boys, I depend on you to make the audience laugh. Can you do it?
Do it? Why, we'll make them bust themselves.
No, no, don't do that. I don't want to redecorate this year. Now, what do you do?
What do we do? Well, you see, we come on together. He falls over nothing. I pick him up and then we shake hands.
Oh, that's funny.
Then I hit him on the head with a big stick. He says, what's that? I says, it's a joke. And he says, I'll laugh tomorrow.
That ought to go.
Go while we get screamed.
Rather?
You see, we're so well matched. My pal, he's got the funny face. And I don't wish to boast, but I've got the talent.
Well, then when do you commence to work?
Oh, Governor, then we do our extemporaneousness business.
Yes, you see, a member of the audience chooses a subject and we sing a verse on it.
Pretty well, I'd like to test you on that.
Right you are. Say, we'll try a verse about pain. That's the best verse we've got.
No, I say Mesopotamia.
Messy what, Governor?
Mesopotamia.
What are we going to do, partner?
Lord, if I know, I suppose we better sing the neatest verse we got to it, eh?
Right, you always sing the best verse
right
we got.
You
now
are.
Then, Mr. Down there, let her go and let her hear what we're going to do. That's the matter. You ask us to sing about, what did he say?
Mesopotamia.
The Mesopotamia. You ask us to sing about, what did he say?
He can ask us again in the very same way.
Wherever our flag is unfurled,
and Britannia is ruling the waves, sir,
Britain who does so the sea you will see, they'll never see man as great, sir.
Well, I think that's about the best verse I've ever heard in all my life. Now, there'll be half an hour for lunch, and everybody will be fine who isn't back in 10 minutes.
Well, now, I'm sure I've mentioned before that the very first record I ever had at the age of 3 was Ruth Etting singing Love Me or Leave Me. I'm going to give you another one of her successful recordings. Since it's winter, button up your overcoat seems appropriate. She was born in 1897 and died in 1978, and first of all wanted to be an artist, visual artist, used to sketch all the time. Was actually sent to art school in Chicago, which is where she discovered that she could sing, and she got involved in the Marigold Gardens nightclub and decided that maybe a showbiz career might suit her better. After being featured at that club, she was spotted by and then managed by Mo Snyder, who was a Jewish gangster, basically. And they got married, and at first he helped her career, but later on his violence meant that people were increasingly loath to book her at all. Indeed, at one point she came to record and perform in England, and as soon as he appeared, he managed to get involved in a big fight. He was that sort of person. When they divorced, he first of all seemed to accept it, and then when she seemed to be interested in her accompanist, and indeed married him in the end, oh, there was a whole scene where he turned up at her house with a gun, shot her intended. Luckily, he didn't die. He was that sort of person. And of course, that's the person that is portrayed by James Cagney in the later film starring Doris Day called Love Me or Leave Me. Not one of his better roles, I think. Miscast. Anyway, that's the story of her life. Whether she would have had a better career had she not been involved with Mrs. Snyder, we'll never know. But the end of her career was sort of in the late 30s, when her style of singing was probably going out of style anyway. But she was hot stuff in the late 20s. Not really a jazz singer, more a sort of popular singer of the day. Here she is then in typical style, singing Button Up Your Overcoat. It was recorded on the 11th of March, 1929.
Listen, big boy, now that I've got you made, goodness, but I'm afraid something's going to happen to you. I was get a pain and ruin your tum-tum.
Obviously, at this time of year, I'm looking for Christmas songs, and I do a search within the tracks that I've got on my computer on words like Santa Claus, Christmas, etc., etc. And I came across, as a result of that, a track which has really got nothing to do with Christmas at all, but does have the words Santa Claus involved. There's a now long-forgotten star of American vaudeville called William H. Tascott, often known as Tascott, just on its own, followed by the phrase the white coon. The coon was a word, of course, used to talk about black people back then in those non-politically correct days. And a lot of white singers did these coon songs, which were often very, very racialist and depicted black people as stereotypes. And they talk about black people stealing chickens, lusting after watermelon, and all that sort of thing. That said, some coon songs were actually written by black writers, including the wonderful Burt Williams, a chap called Alex Rogers, Will Marion Cook, wonderful musician, Jim Europe, and others, because I suppose they knew they could make money out of it. Tascott's unusual because when he performed, he did so without adding black cork, so he was quite clearly white and yet sang with this sort of accent and content of a coon song. So that's, I suppose, a little different. He had a career which only lasted about 10-15 years, and he didn't get to record that much because, first of all, he was too busy touring. He did a lot of that live performance. He apparently had a huge voice in terms of volume and could be heard in all the vaudeville theatres very easily. And the other thing is that the coon song on record was sort of dominated by people like Arthur Collins and Bob Roberts, so maybe that's why he only recorded two tracks. I'm going to give you one of these, which of course is called You Must Think I'm Santa Claus, which is really addressed to a woman who was a clear gold digger and has really very little to do with Christmas, if anything. And this was recorded on the 12th of May, 1905. And as always, it's announced, because that's what you did on cylinders back then for Edison. And I hope you'll enjoy it. Tascott singing, You Must Think I'm Santa Claus.
You Must Think I'm Santa Claus, sung by Tascott, Edison Records.
Johnson was a coon who loved to gab, gave a present by the score. No matter how many presents he'd give, he'd say I was expecting some more. One day Sam called on his lady love, said, babe, you ain't treating me fair. The presents that you want me for to give to you would break a multi-millionaire. She wanted rubies, pearls, and diamonds. She wanted an automobile. She wanted a lot of important gowns and a coat of the best of steel. Sam said, I certainly does love you, babe, but I don't think that we will. Sam asked that lady for to give him that while leaving the house. He said, you must think I'm Santa Claus. Christmas comes every day. Guess you hear sleigh bells ringing, babe, to every time I come this way. If you think I'm a human Christmas tree, you certainly made one cross. because I give you presents, honey, once in a while. Don't think I'm Santa Claus. You must think I'm Santa Claus. Christmas comes every day. I guess you hit sleigh bells, bring him babe. Every time I come this way. If you think I'm a human Christmas tree, you certainly made one frost. Because I give you presents, honey, once in a while. Don't think I'm Santa Claus.
And now, because it's Christmas, I'm going to play a record about which I know very little. I remember singing myself in Bach's Christmas oratorio. I didn't even know till recently that L'Oratorio de Noël, Christmas Oratorio, was also written, another one, by Camille Saint-Saëns. And I have a record of a little part of it, a trio. I know little about the singers. I vaguely heard of Monsieur Planel. There's another one called Monsieur Becker. I've come across the harpist who's accompanying them, Mademoiselle Lasquine, and I know nothing about the female singer, Mademoiselle Ropagnol. But they're singing accompanied by harp and organ, the trio from Saint-Saëns' L'Oratorio de Noël, and judging by the label, I would guess that this also was recorded somewhere in the late 20s, obviously in France. It's quite a pleasant piece of music, this. I know nothing about it. I've never heard it before. But it is about Christmas, and it's possibly the only really Christmas track I have for you this year. So let's hear it and enjoy it. So how shall we finish this podcast, apart from my own track, of course? Let's go with something that you might play if you're having a great party. There's nobody that plays better party music than Louis Jordan. He was born in 1908, died in 1975, was known as a sort of a link between jazz and rock and roll, really, when he sang with Bing Crosby, Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong. He was a great personality. You couldn't really miss him. Fine, fine alto player. People forget what a good musician he was. And of course, he sang all these great, often semi-comedic swingers. And you can't sit still when it's on. This is in very good sound, I'm glad to say. And it's one of his big hits. It's called Choo Choo Chaboogie. And I'm sure that many of you will know this already. But it's great to play it again. Louis Jordan, ladies and gentlemen. Choo Choo Chaboogie.
Heading for the station with a pack on my back. I'm tired of transportation in the back of a hack. I love to hear the rhythm of the clickety-clack and hear the lonesome whistle, see the smoke from the stack and pal around with Democratic fellas named Mac. So take me right back to the track, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, jaboogie. Woo-woo, woo-woo, jaboogie. Choo-choo, choo-choo, jaboogie. Take me right back to the track, Jack. Destination, but alas and alack, you need some compensation to get back in the black. You take a morning paper from the top of the stack and read the situations from the front to the back. The only job that's open needs a man with a knack, so put it right back in the rack, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, jaboogie. Woo-woo, woo-woo, jaboogie. Choo-choo, choo-choo, jaboogie. Take me right back to the track, Jack. Down by the railroad track, live the life of Riley in the beaten down shack. So when I hear a whistle, I can peep through the crack and watch the train a rolling when it's falling a jack. For I just love the rhythm of the clickety clack. So take me right back to the track, Jack. Choo choo, choo choo, jaboogie. Woo woo, woo woo, jaboogie. Choo choo, choo choo, jaboogie. Take me right back to the track.
And so we come to my track. I've had a cold again this month, which meant that I couldn't sing properly, but I have gradually been able to get my voice back. It's not very good early in the morning as it is now, but it comes back during the day. So hopefully this cold is over again. And we're approaching Christmas and a horrible election and all sorts of things, and then I've got to do my income tax. I don't like December very much. Anyway, it makes me think backwards to my younger days. And I've come across a song which I very rarely play because the reason for playing it never arrived. I must have been about 20 or so when I wrote this song, imagining that Miss Wright would come along and how would I propose to her. And the result was this song. And I'm going to play it to you in a minute. This month, this day in fact, that this goes up, 1st of December 2019, is precisely 40 years to the day when I would have been opening for Paul McCartney and Wings in Glasgow. I think that was the last day of the tour. As opposed to this year, when I was asked to open the show for Roberto Menescal, one of the last remaining creators of Bossa Nova, now that Jorge Roberto is no longer with us. I was going to play my new Bossa Nova, but I'm not happy with the recording yet, so that'll have to wait for a couple of months. Instead, then, I'm going to play this old recording of a song I wrote called Proposal. As I think I said before, I used to get my reel-to-reel recorder out, put it next to the piano, and just sing the thing so that I didn't forget the words or the chords before I had the chance to write it down. And that's what this is, a genuine demo for myself. Before I play it, as always, I have to say to you, please start sharing this podcast with the world so that the whole world can hear the music that's now hidden on 78s. Very few people have got the equipment to play 78s. Half of them don't know the great performers who performed on that medium, let alone cylinders, which came before it. So do share this podcast with as many people as you can. That will be your Christmas present to me, and I'll keep trying to give you more music every month. Also, as I've said before, some of you may be looking for an unusual Christmas present, and if you do have the equipment to play 78s, why not help me clear some of the clutter in my flat by buying some of my doubles? I don't charge what dealers charge for these records, and especially if you like opera, I have some magnificent recordings that I don't need two copies of, let alone three in some occasions. So with all of that, I wish you Merry Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever you are celebrating this time of year, even if you're an atheist as I am. And also I say, as always, till the next time, it'll be the 1st of January, midwinter. Till then, au revoir.
Sometimes I will hate you, bet I irritate you sometimes, but you'll never leave. I'll do anything just to make you agree. You can always be sure that it's my heart beating. Let's not waste this meeting. Kiss me, tell me you'll be mine. I'll do anything just to make you agree. You can always be sure that it's you. My heart beating. Let's not waste this.